Well, we want to come to the Word of God this morning, and we're opening our Bibles in Galatians chapter 5, please. Galatians chapter 5, and we'll read from verse number 19. Do thank Gordon very much for his kind words of welcome. It's lovely to be with you this morning, and we do trust the Lord will bless our coming together. Galatians chapter 5, we'll read from verse number 19, please. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they which are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And we do trust the Lord will bless the public reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word to our hearts again this morning. Someone has broken down the fruit of the Spirit as we find it in verses 22 and 23. They say the first three are emotional: love, joy, and peace. The second three would be what's called evidential: long-suffering, or patience, gentleness, and goodness. And then the final three are elemental. They're elementary to our spiritual life: faith, meekness, and temperance. This morning I want to think about faith this morning. Faith as it's found here in the fruit of the Spirit. Now the word faith appears a number of times in Galatians, and it's used in different ways, even in the book of Galatians. For instance, in Galatians 1 verse 23, it says, "But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith." And so when Paul talked about preaching the faith, he was talking about the revealed body of truth. He was talking about the Word of God. And sometimes the faith means Scripture. It means the Word of God. But then we read in Galatians 3 verse 14 that the blessings of Abraham might now come on Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Here it's not the revealed body of truth. Here, rather, it's faith that is exercised. We exercise faith when we're saved by grace. We're saved by grace through faith. And we have that saving faith. We exercise faith day by day when we walk by faith and we don't walk by sight. I believe when we come to the fruit of the Spirit, it's neither the revealed body of truth, nor do I believe it is faith exercised. I believe a better translation would be the word faithfulness. When we think about faith, we think of our ability to trust God. I want to turn it around this morning and look at God's ability to trust us. Your faithfulness and my faithfulness this morning. It's not the act of faith that we find in the fruit of the Spirit. Rather, it is the quality of our faithfulness. I've never been to Yellowstone National Park, but I'm told there are geysers there which shoot up streams of hot water into the air. The most popular one is not the one that reaches the greatest height, but it's one apparently you could set your watch by it. I'm told that every 65 minutes it shoots a stream of boiling water 170 feet up into the air. And that's the one that people gather around because it's called Old Faithful. Are you Old Faithful this morning? When it comes to the work of the Lord, when it comes to the things of Christ this morning, are you Old Faithful? Is your life marked by faithfulness this morning? Are you Mr. or Mrs. Dependable this morning? Solomon said in Proverbs 20, verse 6, "Most men will proclaim every one his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find?" And so we want to look at faithfulness this morning. Remember the context here in Galatians chapter 5. We read this morning some of the works of the flesh, verse 19 and 20. If we could call it, it's not the right term. We could talk about the fruits of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit. And Paul knew that there would be that battle within her heart, that battle between the flesh, the old man, and that new nature. And he mentions some of the outworkings of the flesh in the heart of people. And he knew as we go through our journey of life, there'll be that battle. And there's always a temptation when the flesh is being tempted, when there's that real struggle for you and I to be unfaithful. And so Paul is contrasting the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. And maybe you find yourself this morning and you're being pulled in a direction, but it's going to mean that you're going to be unfaithful. Let's see what the Word of God has to say this morning. I think the first thing we want to look at this morning is divine faithfulness. We want to look at the Lord's faithfulness for a few moments. Lamentations 3, verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. We were singing it this morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. We have no doubt this morning that we have a faithful God. Hebrews 10 verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. The Hebrew writer says, hold fast. There's a better day ahead. Just hold fast, because God's faithful. Hebrews 11, verse 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Sarah judged God to be faithful. Just keep believing this morning. Maybe God has given you a promise. Maybe there's something that you're holding on to this morning and it seems that God's not going to work. Just keep believing this morning. God's faithful this morning. Deuteronomy 7 verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keeps his commandments to 1,000 generations. In other words, he never changes. God is faithful. He's faithful now. He's faithful tomorrow, and he's faithful forever. What a faithful God we have this morning. You know, Peter was writing to some of God's people who really were suffering in real difficulty, where their backs were really up against the wall. Maybe that's where we find you this morning, in torment of soul. And Peter said to them in 1 Peter 4, verse 19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. And what Peter's doing, he says, look at God in creation. Look at how faithful the stars and the planets move in their orbit by precision. Look how the earth revolves consistently around its axis. Look how the seasons come year in and year out. See how faithful God is when it comes to creation. He says, you commit your soul to him. You trust him for your well-being. Look how faithful he is when it comes to creation. Summer and winter, springtime and harvest, sun, moon and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. What a faithful God we have this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ is called the faithful witness in Revelation 1 verse 5. He's called the faithful and true one in Revelation 19 verse 11. What a faithful Savior we have this morning. One who will always keep his word. Hebrews 6 verse 18. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we may have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. God is faithful. He cannot lie. You can take this book from Genesis to Revelation and you can trust every word of it, believe every promise in it, because we have a faithful God this morning. You know, as we journey through life, you and I, we rub shoulders with sin day in and day out. You know, we have a faithful God when we when we're touched by sin. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 8 to 9. Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord will not abandon you. And then it goes on to say, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Sometimes we don't just rub shoulders with sin. Sometimes we're tempted to sin. Paul again said in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. He's faithful when we go through life. He's faithful when we're tempted to sin. He's faithful when we fall into sin. 1 John 1 verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a faithful God we have this morning. The faithfulness of God should encourage your faithfulness this morning. It was David Livingstone who penned in his diary on January the 14th, 1856. Evening, felt much turmoil of spirit and prospect of having all my plans for the welfare of this great region and this teeming population knocked in the head by savages tomorrow. But then he says, I read what Jesus said. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He went on to say, it is the word of a gentleman of the most strict and sacred honor. So that's the end of it. Livingstone could say, what a faithful God I have. Faithful in every way. Do you see divine faithfulness this morning? No question that we have a faithful God this morning. But I want to think about the duty of faithfulness this morning. Faithfulness is not only something God desires and something God admires, but it's something that God requires. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. It's a divine requirement this morning. If you're saved this morning, you should be a faithful man or woman of God. Remember the parable the Lord Jesus told in Matthew 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway he took his journey. You know the story well. The master is God. You and I are the servants. Each are given talents. Some given 5, some given 2, some given 1. The talents are really areas of responsibility. And the responsibility was given according to ability. God is not asking you to do something that you're not able to do. And we don't all have equal ability, but we all have equal responsibility. And we all have opportunities to do for the Lord what he wants us to do. James Merritt said, faithfulness is simply doing your duty until your duty is done. The Lord is asking you to do your best with the opportunities and abilities he has given to you. I wonder, is that true of you this morning? Some people are not faithful because perhaps they think what's been asked of them may well be beneath them. The Lord Jesus said in Luke 16, verse 10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Are you faithful in the little things this morning? Do you think what God's asking you to do? Well, you could do so much more. But God wants to see, are you faithful in the little things this morning? Moses was faithful at the backside of the desert. Joseph was faithful in prison. David was faithful when he just had to carry supplies from his father to his brothers on the front line. And God took these men onto greater things. I heard about a huge man on one occasion and a small man. The small man said to this big man, he said, you know, if I was your size, I would go into that forest and I would wrestle some of those big bears. And the man looked at him and said, you know, there are some little bears there as well. Father, where shall I work today? and my love flowed warm and free. Then he pointed me towards a tiny spot and said, tend that for me. I answered quickly, oh no, not that. Why, no one would ever see, no matter how well my work was done in that little place for me. And the word he spoke, it was not stern. He answered me tenderly, ah, little one, search that heart of thine. Art thou working for them or me? Nazareth was a little place, and so was Galilee. Are you faithful in the little things this morning? How faithful are we this morning? Are we faithful when it comes to our work, our employment this morning? Ecclesiastes 9 verse 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. That means as a believer, we should be faithful employees. We turn up on time. An honest day's work for an honest day's pay. Of all the employees, wherever you work, you stand head and shoulders above the rest because you're faithful. You're marked by faithfulness in your work. Are we faithful with our wealth this morning? Luke 16, verse 11. If ye therefore have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? It doesn't need any expounding. It doesn't need any explanation. Can God trust us with our riches this morning? Are we faithful when it comes to our giving, or are we doing what Malachi says in his day, we're robbing God? Are we faithful in our work this morning? Are we faithful in our wealth? Are we faithful when it comes to worship? Hebrews 10, verse 25, the Hebrew writer says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And he's talking about the meetings of God's people. And then he went on to say, as the manner of some is, even in the days when the book of Hebrews was written, some of God's people had got out of the habit of going to the meetings. It seemed to be they would go when it suited them. The writer continues, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. It's an encouragement. It's an encouragement when God's people are faithful. And so much the more as you see the day approaching, as we approach the coming of the Lord. Wouldn't it be awful if the meeting was on and we were missing? And the Lord Jesus come back. Are we faithful when it comes to our worship? I remember doing a study in Nehemiah on one occasion. In Nehemiah chapter 10 verse 39, the people boldly say, we will not forsake the house of our God. Nehemiah was away for a period of time. When he returned in chapter 13, he asked the question, why is the house of God forsaken? We could ask that question of some of God's people, couldn't we? Why is the house of God forsaken? When you study between chapter 10 and chapter 13 of Nehemiah, you discover they began to mix with the world. You discover their leadership was weak. You discover they didn't give as they ought. You discover they were working when they shouldn't be. You discover they were living ungodly lives. And so they forsook the house of God. I'm just asking the questions this morning. As God has asked me the questions, I'm sharing it with you this morning. Are you faithful when it comes to your witness this morning? Are you faithful when it comes to your worship this morning? You know, I remember not the first car I got, but my second car was an old Escort, a 1600 Sport. Some of you may remember them. Some of you probably would pretend you don't remember them. But it was a racy motor. It was an orange car. And I had a lovely little number plate on the front, EIB 654. I had spots in the front and a big spot in the back. When you put the reversing light on, it really was like a lighthouse. I had one of the horns like Dukes of Hazzard. Do you remember the Dukes of Hazzard? And I thought I was no miss in my 1600 Sport. Used to drive around in this flashy motor, and I surely, in this car, the gears won't be able to resist me. It didn't actually work that way, but anyway. But there was one problem. When I come out in the morning and I put the key in the car, she wouldn't start. So many mornings, she wouldn't start. Some mornings, she would start. But most mornings, she wouldn't start. She was unfaithful. Would you put up with a motor like that? Would you put up with a fridge that only works 5 days out of 7? Would the bank put up with someone who pays their mortgage, well, 10 months out of 12? Would they say, well, that's not too bad, you're paying the most of it? Tell me, if you went home and you said to your spouse, I'm going to be faithful most of the time, how well would that go? And yet we expect the Lord to accept our faithlessness at times. We wouldn't put up with it in everyday things, and yet we expect the Lord to put up with our unfaithfulness. Are you faithful when it comes to your work, your wealth, your worship? Are we faithful when it comes to our word? Proverbs 12, verse 22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. Someone has said your word is the only thing worth giving if you really can keep it. If you can't keep it, don't give it. Are you a man or woman of your word? Do people know when you say something, you'll do it? Has someone shared something with you and said, please don't tell anyone else? Are you the sort of person that can be trusted? Because you're a man or woman of your word. And your life's marked by faithfulness. Are you faithful when it comes to our witness? The Lord Jesus Christ is called the faithful witness. Come over to Proverbs 25 for a moment. I want to share a couple of verses with you. Just want you to see this for yourselves. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 13, please. It's wonderful little gems that you find in the book of Proverbs, but it should be no wonder, as Solomon, the wisest man inspired by the Spirit of God, shares these with us. Look at Proverbs 25, verse 13. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refreshes the soul of his masters. I remember as a young lad, opposite us in Coke, where I grew up, there was a farmer. And they would do the hay and they would do the straw. There was very little silage then. There certainly wasn't any big bales. There were all the little bales. And I can remember at harvest time being out helping. If you got a good job, you could drive in the tractor. And the old Ferguson T20. And it was lovely just to sit and drive the tractor and everybody else do the work. But you had to do a bit of work as well. And when you were out and you were throwing up the bales and it was a really warm day and the sweat was blinding you, if someone would come with a cold drink, what a blessing, what a blessing. Just to drink something really cold and really refreshing. And this is the picture here. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, in the heat of the harvest, if someone could bring something that would just refresh us. A faithful man or a faithful woman are so refreshing. What a blessing. What a blessing, what an encouragement a faithful man or woman or young person is. But then glance down the chapter to verse 19. Look at verse 19. Confidence in the time of trouble, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. You ever have a broken tooth? It's uncomfortable, isn't it? You ever have anything out of joint? It's painful, isn't it? You see, whilst a faithful man is so refreshing to the body of Christ, unfaithful men and women and young people are a pain in the body of Christ. I don't believe sometimes God's people really appreciate how hurtful unfaithfulness can be, how painful it can be. Which are you like this morning? I'm sure you don't want to be like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint. You see divine faithfulness this morning. God is faithful. You see the duty of faithfulness. God requires you and I to be faithful. Let me say something about the delight of faithfulness. We mentioned Matthew 25, that parable of the talents. Matthew 25, verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Just turn to Matthew 25. Do you see this, please? You know the story, how the master comes back and he wants to see how faithful have they been with what the master has given to them. When we come to verse number 20, we see the man who had 5 talents. Well, he has made a further 5. He is now 10. Look what the master said in verse 21. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." You can see he's faithful. You can see he's going to be made ruler over many things. Verse 22. He that had received 2 talents came and said, "Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them." His Lord said unto him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou in to the joy of the Lord." You can see that even though one was given more talents than the other, the reward's just the same. I will make you ruler over many things. The Lord is not asking you to be the best. God's not asking me to be the best preacher in Ulster. But he's asking me to do the best with the talents God has given to me. God's not asking you to be the best singer. God's not asking you to be the best Sunday school teacher. God wants you to do the best with what he has given to you. Whatever God has given to you, whatever gifts God has entrusted you with, the Lord wants you to do your best. I often talk about Jacob and Esau. And you remember how Jacob wanted to get the blessing? And in order for Jacob to get the blessing, he pretended to be Esau. And so many of God's people are trying to be like someone else, to try and somehow get the blessing of God. The Lord says, no, don't try to be someone else. Do the best with what God has given to you and do it where God has placed you. That's what God's asking you to do. He's not asking you to be someone else. Jacob didn't need to be Esau to get the blessing that God had promised him. If you can't be a highway, then just be a trail. If you can't be the sun, be a star. It isn't by size that you win or fail. Be the best at whatever you are. You see, when you read Paul's letters, you read about Timothy and Gaius and Titius and Epaphras and Onesimus and Silvanus. And you know something Paul said about all? He just said they were a faithful brother. Faithful brother. Faithful brother. I wonder, is that how your life would be marked? A number of months ago, the church took a trip to a ploughing match of all things. Ploughing match. I went and I walked the feet of you around somewhere in County Carlow. I don't know where it was, but I walked and walked and walked. If I had a Fitbit, it was 17,000 steps. It was a lot of walking all around the show. But I saw the president of Ireland, the wee man Higgins. And a lovely wee man, isn't he? And he just was going through in the car, but he never stopped to speak to me or anything. I was sort of disappointed that he didn't know who I was. You see, we're not going to be noticed by the Queen for the work we do for the Lord. We're not going to get a gong or an OBE or a knighthood. But what recognition in heaven? Can there be anything better than the Lord Jesus saying, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant"? Revelation 2 verse 10, when the Lord was speaking about the church in Smyrna, he said, "Be thou faithful unto death." And he said, "Be faithful right to the end." And this is what he said, "I will give thee a crown of life." There's rewards for faithfulness. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, when the U.S. Marines were looking for a motto, they thought long and hard about it, and they come up with the motto, "Semper Fidelis," which means always faithful. And the real challenge is not with the word faithful. The real challenge is with the word always. Faithful when it doesn't suit you. Faithful when it costs you. Faithful when no one else is being faithful. Because as a child of God, you're always faithful. Faithful when you're in the public gaze. Faithful when you're out of public view. Faithful when you're doing the things that are noticed. Faithful when you're doing the things that are not noticed. Is your life marked by faithfulness this morning? Could it be said that you're always faithful? Last year was the 100th anniversary of the Battle of the Somme. Caleb and his school were up in Newton Ours just this week or last week visiting the Somme Centre, and I'm sure it's well worth a visit. I have been at the site of the Somme on a number of occasions, and I've spoken at the Ulster Tower. And it's something that it really moves you every time you see it. But I was reading a story about soldiers that had gone up over the top into no man's land. And when they come back into the trenches, one man noticed that his friend was lying wounded in no man's land. He still was alive, he still was moving, but he was wounded. And he said to his commanding officer, "I want to go and I want to bring my friend back." He says, "Don't be stupid." He says, "He's as good as dead. If you go out there, you're as good as dead." But he disobeyed the orders. He went up over the top and he went into no man's land, and he got his friend and put him over his shoulder, and he too was wounded on his way back in. And by the time he arrived back into the trenches, his wound was a mortal wound as well. His friend at this stage had died. His friend was brought in just a corpse, just a dead body. He was lying now wounded and he was sure to die. The commanding officer said, "What a waste. I told you it was a waste of time." And the man who was wounded looked into the eyes of the commanding officer and said, "A waste of time? Do you know what he said to me when I got there?" He says, "Jim, I knew you'd come. I knew you'd come." And I have a little picture in my mind of the Lord, and he's standing in the car park in Lurgan Baptist Church. And when the Bible study's on the Tuesday night, he says, "I knew you'd come. I knew you'd come." When it comes to the prayer meeting on the Thursday night, he says, "I knew you'd come. I knew you would come." When it comes to the Lord's day, morning and evening, he says, "I knew you would come. I knew you would come." When there's something to be done, when hands are to be dirtied, the Lord says to you, "I knew you would come. I knew I could count on you." Is that the sort of man or woman of God that I am this morning? Is your life marked by faithfulness this morning? Let's bow in a moment's prayer.